realize that I'm not in a form and be still with it. I step right out. And sometimes you'll know you have. You stepped out of the belief because you never were in the form. You're not living in a form now, and when you step out of form, it means stepping outside of the belief that you live in form. This is Christ mind. Christ mind shows that it does not live in form. It is infinite. It is infinite. It has nothing to do with this finite form except for that form to show forth the level of your Christ consciousness. I think I just explained the sixth point, which is the danger zone was not letting the Father go before you. And so everything looks difficult. I can't do this and I can't do that. Things that are impossible to us are not impossible to the Father. In the finished kingdom of God that is present, all is done and perfect. And in your Christ mind, you're not rushing out to this at the response of this me that wants something. You're resting in the Father, and the Father goes before you. So your sixth danger zone is that you rush out to do what no human can do. You forget to let the Father go before you. And the natural question then is, how do I let the Father go before me? And I think you should know by now, without having to hear it again and again. It's your function to let the Father go before you. And when the body catches up and arrives at its destination, the spiritual mechanisms are all there working through your realized consciousness. And out of the infinite universe, with the speed of light, that which is necessary appears in what we call physical form. Loaves and fishes from the sky, or whatever. Gold in a fish's mouth. Impossible things are all normal when you let the Father go before you. I want you to know that none of this could be said to you if you weren't where you are. It's falling on fertile ground. That's why it's being said. It's being said because we're ready. We're ready to do these things. We're really ready to express Christ-like on earth. Giving up our human nets and our little fishing boats. And we're following the inner master now. And however difficult the obstacles before us, we're following the inner master's initiation plan as he leads us into paradise. We've only come to the sixth of our self-initiation indoctrinations. In the seventh, we're attacking these all as danger zones, remember, and one of them is not to let yourself live in the perishables. Those 12 fruits, you remember, are the fruits that remain, the fruits that endure eternally. And if you forever live in the perishables, you're in the tinsel, you're in the paper mache, you're in the baubles. We want to live in the eternal substance of our being. And this is not things. Instead of things which perish, we cultivate the real treasures of the Spirit. We cultivate the love that flows between us. We cultivate the understanding that flows between us. We cultivate those attitudes toward our neighbor which we want reflected back to us. We develop all that we know God must be within ourselves. These are the imperishables. We don't reach out for the things of this world. When we do, we're living with the perishables. And unfortunately, those of us who have reached a certain state of adulthood, which has congealed, are not at the same level of awareness as the younger ones who have not fallen into those traps, have not been glamorized by this world's special effects, but have come in with a new awareness, as you know, who can see through this tinsel better than we had been able to. They are not willing to live with the perishables because they have discovered that the adults who live with them waste their lives. And maybe we can learn a lot from these young folks if we listen to what they have to say and see things through their eyes. They are yesterday's old people reappearing. And they have learned much. And while you're at it, it would be a good idea to look at a child and realize you're looking at infinite being, not a child. This misperception of who is how old is not part of the Christ mind. And it works both ways, from down up and up down. The Christ mind knows no age. The Christ mind knows the eternal spirit which is ageless. And if you're living in the belief of material things, perishable things, you're not in the kingdom of God, are you? What's perishable in the kingdom of God? We, in Christ awareness, even in a measure, even if that Christ awareness is not total, we are making the effort to hold our consciousness here now in the kingdom of God, where nothing perishes. And so your seventh self-initiation point is not to live in the perishables, but to set your focus higher on the enduring reality, which is called a kingdom, consciously. And just as you can unsee mortality because God is present where mortality appears, so you can unsee those things which are not enduring as not being there because the Spirit of God is there too. Everywhere you look, you sow to the Spirit of God, and that is what you will reap. Because you're sowing to the source, you will reap the fruits of the source. You will maybe seem to be sacrificing the perishables, but you won't be. The source will manifest the reality which the perishables are imitating. You'll have the gold which is tried in the fire. That's your seventh step. And it is, in a sense, the eighth step, because the eighth step is an explanation of the seventh. The danger zone, the pitfall, is to live in this world. Just as being mortal is a denial of the presence, living in this world is a denial of the kingdom of God. I am not of this world, said the Master. Oh, I entered this appearance in this world to make communication with others of similar nature who could only communicate with one like themselves. But now I am no longer in this world. I have overcome the world. And I pray, Father, for those who are still in the world, that you make them one, as we are one. The Christ mind is lifting us into the knowledge that the world is that which we see through the glass darkly of misperception. And we do not, as you might say, ply our trade in the world. We appear to. But that consciousness is conscious of the present kingdom of God. And though the things that roll off our hands and become products that we have skillfully performed in some way, these emanate from a different consciousness than the human mind. They emanate from that consciousness which lives in the kingdom of God on earth while the visible form appears in the world. Living in the world is not living in the kingdom of God. And the Christ mind does not live in the world. Have ye that mind which was in Christ is a command to live in the kingdom of God here now. Take off thy shoes. The place whereon thou standest is the kingdom of God. Live here now consciously. Accept the fullness of its presence. Go back to source, rest in divine consciousness, and that remnant of human mind in you which cannot do it will find that the divine consciousness will dissolve that remnant so that you can experience the fruit of infinity unfolding. Always, you see, you have divine help if you rest in source. Begin with source. And source will always unfold the kingdom where the world mind always unfolds the baubles that perish. Number 9, the pitfall, the danger zone, is honoring another creator than God, which is the same as honoring two creators. Now these overlap, of course, but you can see that if you honor an evil as being present, and I mean by honor, you acknowledge its presence. When you acknowledge the presence of an evil, you are honoring another creator than God. And so you've got two creators. And therefore you're not in source. You split. Honoring two creators means that you honor that which God did not create. And the minute that which God did not create is honored by you as reality, then you have said that someone other than God created this, and therefore there's another creator. This is a schism which leads to all kinds of gaps in your experience. It's the fall from Eden all over again. How can I honor the one creator? By recognizing that only perfection can be, and therefore imperfection is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The one creator cannot create imperfection or anything potentially imperfect. The one creator couldn't create a child that could become a criminal, or a child that could be aborted, or a child that could go out and light fires and burn down trees and homes and people, and a child that could go out with a gun and shoot. The one creator can't create that which is possibly imperfect at any time. The one creator can't create a human heart, which is imperfect, which is temporary, which is perishable. The one creator could not create a human brain. If you see those things pickled in the laboratory, you'd realize God had nothing to do with it. That's why it dies. And that same brain is running our universe because we think in some way that it's the one we have to go to as the authority. Someday we'll look at that little brain in a coffin and we'll say, that's the brain we trusted. And we'll understand. Our human brain is not God's creation. Our human brain is an imitation of our soul. We were afraid to look at that one time. But now we have to. In our self-initiation, we honor only that which God created. And we know it because it is enduringly perfect. Here, invisibly to us, is the perfect expression of God's mind, God's consciousness, ever present with perfect intelligence, ever forming and manifesting with perfection alone as its only law. And these that we see in the outer, which today may be physically harmonious, as Joel put it, are not spiritually whole. They are not the creation. And so the Christ mind looks at all that is imperfect with the knowledge that it is not God's creation. It is a figment of the cosmic mind projected into human consciousness, accepted as reality. Just no different, really, than tuning in on a TV channel and there's all the images. These images are projected into us the same way by a cosmic mind. And that's the world deception we're coming out of. To honor the Creator's creation. To uphold the Creator, do not adulterate by accepting what is not the Creator's creation. We are being enlightened to the cosmic illusion of all matter, and that matter has forced us into the belief of a second Creator because we had accepted the reality of matter. And now in not accepting the reality of matter, we are redeeming our false consciousness. No longer pointing a finger of accusation at God and saying, you created this. Instead, we're saying, Father, you did not create the imperishables or those things that can. You did not create the perishables or those things that can perish. We're finally establishing a perfect God and a perfect God's creation. And an enduring God's creation. Christ is getting through. In our 10th, these are by now, you see, as you practice them, will gel together. And you'll be learning that one of the danger zones that you had also practiced was living finitely. Believing in a finite world, finite objects, finite qualities. divisions, limitations, boundaries, where there aren't any. And again, your soul can do this. Your soul can live infinitely. Your mind lives finitely. So the only way not to fall into the trap of living finitely is not to fall into the trap of depending totally on your mind to run your life. Your only answer to living infinitely is to rise to the level of soul, consciously. This again is, these are all difficult self-initiations which you must practice with a great deal of regularity and intensity. Your meditation is, how can I not fall into the danger zone of living finitely? You turn yourself over to divine consciousness, you rest, you linger in the stillness without thought, and this is your inner journey through areas that you normally never explore. And as you do this, you'll feel some kind of an inner response. A very beautiful inner response. It's almost as if you had moved into a new realm. I don't think it's Joel's click, it's something else. But there's a feeling of a sudden movement. And it's really a change of consciousness. You really come into a different kind of consciousness when you do these exercises. When you move from the finite, or when you're trying to realize how not to live in the finite, and something moves inside, you realize something is happening, and lo and behold, you're not in the finite. Even when I try to put it into words, I don't know what to say. But I call it a soul movement. I feel it. And I know something is happening. And I know if at that moment I'm working for someone, I've taken them out of the finite the same way. That's your tenth initiation. And I'd like to recall to you that when you look at that finite child, you're living finitely. You see how easy it is? It's an automatic thing to live finitely. But when you're alert to it, you'll find if you give it a half hour, it will linger with you in many ways. And when you give it another half hour and then some more, it will eventually become part of your consciousness. And it will synchronize with all else that is becoming part of your consciousness. Now, this is the most difficult so far, perhaps, in spite of the ones that we've heard, and it's not to live in the externals. But you remember when we said that I am the vine is what your Christ self is within you now. And then those who said to themselves, well, I'm the Christ, but I don't know what to do about it. Well, today you find that to be the Christ mind is how you're the Christ. Yesterday it was difficult, perhaps, but today it's not that difficult. There's always an answer. You have to pose the most difficult possibilities and then find out how to make them not difficult. And now the most difficult possibility you can imagine is not to live in the externals. And yet, it becomes easier when you have a realization that there are no externals in the Christ mind, only in the human mind. And you are developing the Christ mind, which you already have. You're now becoming conscious of that mind which does not live in the externals. And that's a little different than just not living in the externals. You're cooperating with your own Christ mind, which does not live in the externals. You can see that now when those cases come to Jesus and say, heal me of this and heal me of that. We see those cases outside us. The Christ mind doesn't. The eyes see it, but not the Christ mind. When our eyes see something, our mind sees it. And that's all we see. But that's human vision and human thinking. The Christ mind does not respond to what physical eyes see. It sees from a different level. It doesn't see only the external something that the eye thinks it sees. In fact, it's because of that that the Christ mind has the healing consciousness. It looks at that which the eye sees, and it said, you're denying the presence of God. You're denying the perfection of God, the perfection of God's creation. You're living finitely inside a form. The Christ mind looks at all that without taking thought, because it knows the creation of God is the only one present. And so it says to us, stand ye still and behold. Here, where the world sees this case, I, the Christ mind, know that only God is present. You're not going to get me to work on a snake in a tree when there's no snake in that tree. You're not going to get me to work on an illusion. I can know the illusion is all that's there. Nothing else. Sometimes you will discover that you also have that capacity. Stand in the knowledge that the illusion is there, not the reality, and be still. That is your Christ mind. Now, I know you can do it because there are at least 10 people in this room who can. So anyone can. None of us are geniuses. We're just following the Christ principles. Not to live in the externals is to live in the knowledge that your Christ mind already does not live in the externals. And when you live in the externals, you're stepping out of your Christ mind. Stand ye still and behold the salvation of the Lord. Take no thought for your life. Resist not evil. Be still and know, I am God. When you read that many years ago, you thought I am God meant God outside yourself. But no. I am God is the name of your spiritual self. And it is now perfect. Don't live in the externals means live in yourself. Rest in yourself. Believe in yourself. Trust yourself. That is the Christ mind. One with infinite source. Never being divided from infinite source, you know you're always perfect. But what about this case that came to you? What case? All there is infinite self, individualizing. The case is the illusion. Rest in your infinite self. Right there where the case is the infinite self, which is presenting to you an opportunity to acknowledge it instead of the case. You see that? Every time you have an opportunity to acknowledge the infinite self, you have a choice. Will you step out of Eden or will you remain in? Will you believe on your infinite self as the only presence or will you capitulate to the world temptation to think there's something else present than your infinite self? don't live in the externals is really the high healing consciousness. And again, you must work with it, work with it, work with it, and the mountain will lower itself. You will get your inner help to defeat that incapacity of man to live in his true being. Our final one is the one life. The minute you accept that there is another life than the divine life, you're in the danger zone. The Christ mind says, I am the life. The human mind says, I'm sick, or I'm unemployed. Or my future is uncertain, or whatever. The Christ mind says, I am the life, and I am eternal. In other words, when you're living in the concept of form, you're automatically denying the truth of one life. Because the one life does not go inside one form and inside another form. If it did, how would that form ever die? Forms die because the one life is not inside them. They're mental images. To live in the one life means I cannot live in the form. And so your consciousness moves over. Instead of being a form consciousness, you are life conscious. I am not the form. I am the life. If Christ has said, I am not the form, I am the life, it would be identical to saying, I am the life. Because he was identifying that he was not the form. I am the life. And not the life of this form. No, I am the infinite life. So your danger zone then is to go back into form and also into the life of form. And to see the child as form instead of infinite life. To see the adult as form instead of infinite life. And I know anyone here who takes these 12 self-initiation steps and works them carefully is going to obviously begin transcending many of the human areas where people stumble and hurt themselves. And out of it comes a stability, an awareness, a knowledge that nothing can duplicate except going through the experiences of eliminating the false concepts. And lo, suddenly, the Christ message is you. It's not something you study, it's you. You're living, you're being it. You are the Christ message. And it should be that way because you are the Christ. That is our tree of life. We are returning to paradise. I want you all to have the last word in this seminar. I'm going to find something he said somewhere, whatever it is. Well, let's try this one. This is again from The Infinite Way. The universe of spirit, truth, God, is an activity in eternity. Thus understood, neither birth, disease, accident, nor death has ever occurred. When presented with the appearance of humanhood, he didn't say anything about a defect, the appearance of humanhood, even good human beings or conditions, remember that this is not truth, but a mental image and thought. Without reality, without law, without substance, without cause, and even without effect. Then see deeper into consciousness, and behold that which is eternity. Even in what appears as past, present, or future. I think that seals it for me. And before Aloha's, I feel very obliged to express my deep appreciation first to everyone who is here, because I know that what we have done together is a group effort. I know it very well. We have all been an ear to the one living substance, and it has assembled us, and it has shown its hand. I wish to thank all of you who met the challenges to be here, for being here. And naturally, I hope that your visit gave you an opportunity to see others like yourself